Broadcasting from Cardiff and across the world on the internet, I'm Kevin Moore and welcome to The Moore Show. For the next hour, I'll cover subjects of an alternative variety that most shows do not touch. On today's show, I'm joined by William Thomas to discuss the hazards of wireless devices and mobile phones. So stay tuned, enjoy, and I'll be right back.
Radio Cardiff presents The Moore Show on 98.7 FM and online at radiocardiff.org.
Riverside. Let's go.
Plus you, you, that equals better equations. We must do, do, subtraction of your clothes. Me and you, you, got a date tonight. I'm gonna be so straight tonight. These chicks wanna come take me ride. So I walked in the club, looking so fresh. Chicks on set, drinks on deck. Hickeys on my neck, but they don't care. Got their hands up, put it in the air. Spot this fly chick, ask her name. Goddamn girl, you got ass for days. Take it to my crib, we can catch a train. Ain't got no whip, cause my cash ain't straight.
Walk to the club, forgot my swag. It's okay, I got chick to bag. Rims up low, pants still sag. Haters on the wall, looking all mad. Jack the club, no jacket coat. Skip the bar, I ain't got no flow. Got no ice, got no dough.
Riverside.
Let's go.
Chicks wanna come take me ride.
Enough about me, what's up with you? Up? 1 + 1, it equal 2. You got a man, here's why I ask. Wow. Back to my crib, we could do some math.
You plus me and me plus you. Me plus one, you plus two. You plus me and me plus you. Me plus one, you plus two. Tick, tick, turn it up. Tick, tick, turn it up. Tick, 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 turn it up. Tick, 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 turn it up.
Let's go.
The views expressed on The Moore Show are not necessarily the views of Radio Cardiff or its affiliates. From across Cardiff and around the world on the internet, Radio Cardiff presents The Moore Show. And here's your host, Kevin Moore.
William Thomas is an award-winning journalist, specialising in news that the mainstream media does not report. During and immediately after the Gulf War, he served 5 months in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait as a member of a three-man environmental emergency response team. William is the author of 5 books, as well as several electronic books dealing with cell phone and other electromagnetic hazards. He also wrote the first book published on 9/11. William, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be with you, Kevin, and your listeners.
Now, in this interview, William, we're going to discuss your book, The ABCs of Cell Phones and Other Hazards to the Wireless Age. How did this book come about?
It came about in 1991 when I was investigating the effects of military operations on the world environment for a book publisher, and that book was subsequently published. During my research, I discovered to my amazement that the biggest single source of pollution on this planet is electromagnetic energy. I started my research then and have continued to my present day. Actually bought a cell phone about 9 years ago when they just became popular here and was very delighted with it. Its convenience and its almost magical Star Trek powers to communicate almost anywhere to any place else. However, when I finished my initial research on cell phones, I got rid of it, and I haven't gone back since.
So would you call yourself a journalist or a medical doctor?
Oh, I'm in no sense a medical doctor. I'm an investigative journalist. I've been practicing my trade for over 40 years now. I've won some awards for my work. I'm strictly a journalist reporting information, and anything I say today, while thoroughly documented by medical studies, should not be construed as medical advice.
So how dangerous are cell phones, or as we call them over here, mobile phones, and why?
I'm extremely concerned about cell phones, mobile phones as you call them, radiation from cell phone towers, as well as other wireless appliances, including and especially home wireless routers and portable phones. It all adds up to a tsunami of invisible electro smog that is already showing up in quite drastic health effects in Sweden, which invented these devices and is way ahead of us now in the learning curve, if you like, of the fallout from the wireless age. Very dangerous. Of course, we're all concerned about brain cancer, and I compliment newspapers in the UK for running a succession of stories, many of which I quote, over recent years, detailing these hazards and recent research, things that are totally blacked out here in North America, almost completely blacked out. However, the cancer concern for myself as a researcher has been replaced in recent time by an overriding worry that the immediate and cumulative neurological damage from cell phone and wireless use is going to is not only contributing to an explosion, an epidemic of Alzheimer's and dementia around the world, but could lead to literally a brain-wiped population within the next 30 years. At least that's what doctors and studies are showing, that children who use cell phones at early ages, and we're talking in the UK and Europe, most kids 9 years old have or have access to a cell phone, they have a very high chance of being functionally senile by the age 30, that is, no longer able to contribute to society. This is very worrying and even more concern than the explosion of brain cancer and particularly brain tumors in children, which are also epidemic.
So, I mean, how do mobiles and wireless devices damage you? I mean, how does this happen?
Well, let's take a step back and let's take a look at ourselves as physical beings. We human beings, are electrochemical beings. We're talking about electromagnetic radiation right now, and our brain is processing what we're hearing in this conversation using electromagnetics in our brain and chemistry to transfer those signals and make sense of them. We are truly electrochemical beings, but we operate at very subtle frequencies, as does this planet, around a tenth of a volt or lower. Well, cell phones and cell phone towers come through with energy their manufacturers say is low energy, but yet it's millions of times stronger than our Earth background energy and our body's energy that our cells need to function, to carry out the process of life, using calcium and potassium in particular to mediate cellular functions inside and between cells. And those processes are literally being jammed by cell phone, portable phone, and wireless radiation. Here's a graphic example of what we're talking about. We're talking about bodies that move, hearts that operate at 2 cycles per second. You take a typical 1.2 gigahertz telephone or portable phone, and now you are whipsawing those cells 1.2 billion times back and forth every second. Well, something's bound to snap. And in fact, in the University of Washington, researchers a couple of decades ago now discovered that, in fact, the double-strand helix, that ladder, that twisted ladder we're familiar with of DNA, those strands can break. Now, a single-strand break is usually repaired by the body, but a double-strand break is not repaired, and that's exactly what's happening when we whipsaw our cells, our DNA, back and forth so many times per second. We break those strands, and we invite cancer, and all kinds of other problems, from learning disabilities and ADD, autism, especially in children who are most vulnerable, Alzheimer's, my big concern at the moment, autoimmune illnesses, and miscarriages and fetal abnormalities in pregnant women who are the most susceptible, that is, their ovaries are the most susceptible to this kind of radiation.
So you'd say probably carrying a phone on you is not the safest thing to do sometimes if you were pregnant as such.
It's extremely dangerous for anyone, particularly children who are very susceptible in their rapidly developing tissues. Pregnant women, I have horrific photographs in my book, ABCs of Cell Phones, of pregnant women not only speaking on cell phones, but balancing a wireless laptop on their big bellies at the same time. And this is extremely dangerous because the saline fluid in the womb is highly conductive. The woman's pelvic structure is highly conductive, and this radiation goes right into the unprotected fetus. And we're looking at brain impairment at birth that will continue for the lifetime of that child, will not be reversed. And again, everything I'm saying today is coming from documented medical studies, all of which are referenced in my book. So people can actually don't have to take my word for anything you're hearing today. It's all referenced in my book. By the way, if I may, that book is available online if people do want to get that factual information at willthomasonline.net. You can have a look for yourselves. But I'm very concerned. Of course, you know, we wonder how many women are pregnant listening to this broadcast. And I'm sure many are saying, well, I'm not. And my only question is, are you sure? One big problem, of course, is many women don't know initially, aren't aware initially, that they are pregnant and are being exposed to wireless radiation at home and in the workplace. So no cell phones, wireless modems in the home, wireless laptops, especially for pregnant women, please. And let's hold the ultrasound snapshots, too. Very dangerous for fetuses.
Okay. And is there any behavioral changes as well?
Oh, yes, indeed. Dr. Leif Salford and others in Sweden and other doctors around the world who have replicated their studies are saying that, gee, we're surprised that these changes, now we're talking children out of the womb, last for hours after the exposure ceases, and we're talking learning disabilities for life and behavioral problems, hyperactivity in particular among young children who may be exposed in the womb, are certainly exposed at home and in a city environment, and then go to school and are subjected to wireless classrooms. And I looked at quite a big uproar in Wales not long ago over wireless classrooms and concerns, and very valid concerns, I might add,
yeah,
over exposing children to wireless day after day for their lives in school.
So, William, do you see a day when there's going to be an increase in brain-related cancers to do with the wireless networks, wireless mobile phones?
Oh, I think we're there. I think we're already seeing these large increases in brain cancer. The Australians are very concerned about that. I mentioned, are seeing an epidemic of brain tumors in children. It's up something like 40% in recent decades. And when I say recent decades, I'm drawing a correlation here, as are many doctors in the recently released Bioinitiative Report, the Freiburg Appeal in Germany. They all say that the changes they're seeing in their patients, the kind of illnesses they're seeing, exactly coincide with the advent and proliferation of cell phones and mobile masts, as you call them, mobile towers. We're already there in terms of brain cancer, especially among children. And I think, personally, that's an obscenity. What in the world are children doing with brain cancer at very young ages?
So what?
Not to mention autism and ADD, which have been linked to cell phone radiation as well as other factors.
No, this is very true. So what difference would you feel if you stopped using your mobile phone, say, for a week?
Instantly, you would sleep better, guarantee that. If you are prone to headaches, you will find that you're no longer prone or so prone to headaches. There's a caveat here that, great if you desist, but if you work in an electrosmog environment in a wireless office, or if your neighbors next door on either side of your house or apartment are operating wireless routers, which are like miniature cell phone masts, or other wireless devices, you are being exposed to secondhand radiation. You're still going to feel better, absolutely. However, you will not be in a clean environment. But your energy level should go up. Your sleep will definitely improve. And you'll have a overall feeling of well-being. Also, you might find that your short-term memory is coming back. One of the big factors that we're seeing showing effects of this electromagnetic radiation is that many people I know who use their cell phones almost continuously on a daily basis, without exception, are people who, in one case, forgot to pick me up at an airport, forget important errands and appointments, forget phone numbers and directions and addresses all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite debilitating. And yet, problem is, as we all get used to this, and as we all get used to feeling tired and jangled, that becomes the new baseline for society. And kids born into this and young people growing into this start to take this as normal. You know, the frog in the warming, boiling water syndrome.
That's the scary part, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah,
I think so. I think we're so habituated to these devices, and which is to say, we're so addicted to them. Many, many people are addicted to them. We can't seem to live without devices that we got along fine with for 300,000 years. We don't want to give them up, and so we shrug off ill effects. And of course, it's not immediately apparent. I'm not, for the moment, suggesting that you're going to drop dead or even get ill if you use a cell phone, pick it up, and use it. However, you will damage your brain immediately, and that damage is cumulative, and you are risking a depleted immune system and brain cancer and other problems like Alzheimer's down the road. One thing I can say, Kevin, that all cell phones should have a guarantee, should come with a guarantee, and it says that we, the manufacturer, guarantee that you will lose your high-frequency hearing loss, high-frequency hearing, within 12 months of using this cell phone. If you use it regularly for 12 months, we promise that you will lose your high-frequency hearing. The consonants will go away. Wow. We further promise that you will damage your eyes if you use it regularly, and if you wear eyeglasses, you are in very high danger of cataracts and other eye problems. That comes with the territory. Those are some of the trade-offs we are making for convenience.
And these are the trade-offs for the side effects of what the wireless hazards, you know, the side effects, what's caused by using wireless devices.
Those are some of the side effects.
Some of them, yeah.
I'm also looking at reports from around the world of rising infertility. Just looked at one this morning. India, Delhi, over 25% infertility among couples trying to conceive for 2 years or more, and climbing, coinciding with the mass invasion, if I can use that term, of cell phone towers, reported in this very same newspaper without making the connection. But infertility is, as I think most of us know, is on the rise, particularly male infertility, around the world, and it's more and more researchers are tying this to electromagnetic radiation from wireless devices. There's also a chemical pollution component to this, but wireless and infertility, unfortunately, go together.
Well, why don't the major cancer charities even report or warn about the dangers in their journals?
Well, they're in bed with the wireless industry. The journal, the American Medical Association, prestigious journals like that have direct links, that is funding links, to the telecom industry. Their studies, you know, they come out with all these studies, say, oh, these things are perfectly safe. Well, the studies are funded by the telecom industry. There are no independent studies in the United States, for example, going on right now, according to top researchers, experienced researchers in this field. They're all being paid for by the telecom industry. So they've been bought off. And in the United States, the American Medical Association, doctors who know better are afraid to speak out. They can have severe repercussions if they speak out. Now, in Germany, on the other hand, where you have doctors paid by private insurance and things like that, they are not afraid to speak out. And Germany, as UK newspapers have been reporting, is leading the way, doctors and health practitioners there, in speaking out against this pervasive electrosmog and calling for the banning, the complete banning of portable phones. That's how concerned they are. Mm-hmm. I'm referring here to the Freiberger appeal.
Yeah.
And the Bioinitiative report I've also mentioned is also making similar petition to government. The French are concerned. There's a very big outcry in Austria. Salzburg has just initiated the lowest EMR standard of any place in the world. So things are happening. Israel, in fact, very recently, the head of the radiation arm of their environmental department has come out and, get this, he said to advertisers, you may not advertise wireless modems for home use in Israel. And the reason he said, well, because we'll have to build a lot more cell phone towers or masts to service them. And this department is very concerned about radiation damage to people. So you cannot advertise them. I presume people can still go out and buy them. Not a wise plan, by the way, but you cannot advertise wireless modems in Israel. So things are changing. Bangladesh is talking about banning their use among children. Not sure what that age is, but
yeah.
a very good first step.
I wonder why the UK and US governments have allowed the mobile operators to trade as freely as they have if they're quite aware of what's going on. And do you think they're aware of what's going on?
Well, I do think so. You have major studies in England, for example, done by government, raising big warning flags about this technology, again, particularly among children, and yet it does proliferate. It's all about money, as far as I can see. Tens of billions of dollars of revenues are at stake here. That's a major stimulus to an economy, particularly in these times.
Yes.
So governments are loath to step on corporations, we've seen, in any regard, including corporations that they know are promoting products as unhealthy as cigarettes, for example. Except the cigarette companies, at least, are not openly advertising and promoting their products to young children like the cell phone manufacturers are. I think that's unconscionable, absolutely unconscionable, to be going after small children with cell phones, promoting them as some kind of safety device when they're nothing of the kind.
Well, it's like you said before, it's a physical addiction, I think.
Well, we've seen that this texting, compulsive texting, which is quite incredible. I go out and I watch them, these teenagers just pecking away, ignoring the environment around them completely, and lost. And I think we're all aware, of going into a restaurant and there's a couple maybe having their first dinner out together without the kids in a while, and the guy's on his cell phone, and the woman's looking at him. Usually that's how it pairs off. We're talking, having a conversation with someone, and they interrupt us, and suddenly they're talking to a ghost and waving their hands, and they're no longer present. So the kids are texting continuously. We're up something over a trillion text messages a year. it's huge amount every second flying around, and I'm not sure these are all vital messages. I'm pretty sure they're not, but we have kids staying up all night texting their boyfriend and girlfriend every hour.
That's right.
Through the night, and then sleeping with them under their pillows so the vibration will wake them up. So these poor kids are completely sleep deprived. They wander into class. They can't study. They can't function, not only from the cell phone radiation, but simply lack of sleep. They're cracking up their cars at higher rates even than teenagers without this problem, which is high enough already. But we've seen a huge spike in teen accidents, and now this new plague, which frankly makes me really nervous to drive almost anywhere,
yeah.
And that is texting while driving. I had a friend show up just a few months ago here. I live on a small island. They drove up, and they were late because they were rear-ended by a young woman who was texting and hit them at a stop sign.
Unbelievable.
It is totally unbelievable. So...
Sure. Are you saying there, William, that texting or downloading audio or video on your phone and not putting the phone directly near your head is just as bad as, you know, having it near your head because it's still transmitting a signal and it's still receiving a signal?
Well, just as bad is the tricky phrase here. Holding a microwave oven, which is what a cell phone is, miniaturized, to your skull is, well, deadly comes to mind, extremely dangerous. We can go there. Holding it away from you is better, in quotes, slightly better. Texting, okay, slightly better than talking with it next to your head. But there are a couple of major problems here. We have just seen a big study come out of the University of Florida that has myself and many other people in this field very upset. Dr. Gary Arandesh, neurosurgeon, and his team have just come out. It's made a big splash here, perhaps over in the UK, saying that cell phone use prevents and can treat Alzheimer's disease. And the problem with his study is that it's completely invalid in that they subjected mice to high-frequency carrier wave, similar to a cell phone, but generated by a machine, not a cell phone. But this smooth carrier wave had no information piggybacking on it, and this is the problem. And we're getting back to your question, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's the modulation of the frequency with text, you mentioned video, and voice that takes a smooth curve of frequency and turns it into a jagged, sawtooth amplitude. And this is what whips our cells back and forth and saws at our neurons, for example. So your text messaging is modulating the signal and is exposing your body to that modulated frequency that the Bioinitiative Report and others have said is extremely dangerous and is totally ignored by so-called safety standards. So people say, okay, I gotcha. I'm going to use hands-free in the car. And in the United States, I don't know about the UK, state regulators are mandating that you must use hands-free phones if you're going to use a cell phone in a car.
It's the same here.
Have one hand. Okay. Their idea is that you won't be distracted, you know, and you'll have both hands on the wheel kind of thing. They all must be brain dead and not be reading any science because this is even worse. Car crashes have gone up dramatically since drivers switched from holding it to their head, very bad, to hands-free. It seems strange. In fact, think about it. Hands-free, your phone has to put out much more power to produce the volume and produce the signal strength to be useful. 10 times.
And is that the extra
times more power?
Is that the extra power so that it connects either via Bluetooth or wirelessly to the car's hands-free kit? Is that what you mean?
That's right. That's exactly right. 10 times. Of course, Bluetooth is in your ear, so you're transmitting that right into your skull, into your ear canal, right next to your eye. Bluetooth, very dangerous these days because the power levels on Bluetooth devices has gone way up and can now, at the push of a button, emulate cell phone power density levels. So you've got hands-free in a metal cage, think about that, a car, a Faraday cage blocking the signal, so the phone has to work even harder to access that base station, that cell tower, and so you've got very much higher levels of electromagnetic radiation running around that car and all its occupants. And studies in Wisconsin and other states have shown conclusively that it's not the distraction of talking on the phone. We all know what people do in cars while they're driving, all kinds of things. That's the baseline accident statistic. But the cell phone actually impairs driver's reaction time. It actually, as I've been saying all along, impairs the brain, mental functioning, so that drivers react slower. In fact, a teenager using a cell phone, hands-free, hands-on, whatever, in a car will have the reaction time of a 70-year-old driver. But the 70-year-old driver is probably driving slower and has vastly more experience than the young testosterone revved up kid. So 70-year-old reflexes on a hot and bothered teenager in a car, probably sleep deprived, maybe texting. Well, you get the picture.
Okay, William, we're going to take a break there, so stay tuned, enjoy, and we'll be right back.
To connect with the show, email kevin@themoreshow.co.uk. What a day, and your Jesus really died for me. Then Jesus really tried for me. UK and entropy, I feel like it's for me. Wanna fade up the energy, love living like a deity. One day, and your Jesus really died for me. I guess Jesus really tried for me. Bodies in the Bodhi tree, bodies making chemistry. Bodies on my family, bodies in the way of me. Bodies in the cemetery, and that's the way it's gonna be. All we ever wanted is to look good naked. Hope that someone can take it. The rapture, cause it's crazy getting stranger, and everything's contagious. It's the modern middle ages, all day, every day. And if Jesus really died for me, then Jesus really tried for me. Bodies in the Bodhi tree, bodies making chemistry. Bodies on my family, bodies in the way of me. Bodies in the cemetery, and that's the way it's gonna be. All we've ever wanted to look good naked. Hope that someone can take it. God save me, rejection from my reflection. I want perfection. In the way of me, bodies in the cemetery, bodies in the Bodhi tree, bodies making chemistry, bodies on my family, bodies in the way of me, bodies in the cemetery, and that's the way it's gonna be. From across Cardiff and around the world on the internet, Radio Cardiff presents The Moore Show. And here's your host, Kevin Moore.
Welcome back to the show. I'm currently joined with William Thomas, author of the book ABCs of Cell Phone and Other Hazards of the Wireless Age. Now, William, just getting back to where we last left off, we were talking there about the hazards of Bluetooth devices, but what about just using the supplied headphones that come with the mobile phone?
Okay, let's use headsets. There we go. Another answer promoted by many agencies and institutions. We'll use the headphones. That's great. Okay. Here's the problem, and sorry about this. I mean, you know, it'd be nice if we could get these things to work.
Yeah.
Because they are certainly handy. But here's the problem with the headset. The wire drapes down across our body, maybe our pregnant body for a pregnant woman, but otherwise across our body. At certain angles, that's great. No radiation or hardly any at all. You're good. You're absolutely good. But at other angles, you increase the radiation from the phone because the wire acts like a waveguide. That's a fancy word for antenna. And amplifies the darn signal. So now you're even worse off using the headset. So you say, quick, what's the safe angle? Hey, nobody knows. And it constantly changes. And it depends on the phone and the headset. And anyway, you're bumping the wire around all the time. We can say that the wire hanging straight down, which is the usual condition, is the worst for this waveguide effect, but unfortunately, that's a no-go. The headsets are not—they're not useful. Probably the best. Man, I can't even use that word best. But of all the possible workarounds, putting the phone away from you on a table using speaker mode might be, again, put quotes around best.
Sure.
However, the phone has to put out a lot more power to operate like that. And cell phone people tell me that their speakerphone is just not adequate. Their cell phone in speaker mode is just not adequate to do this. Finally, we come to the air tube. Let's finish this off with the air tube. This sounds like a really neat device. No wiring. Literally a tube full of air connecting the phone to your ears. No conductive wiring. This is good. This is very good. It does not act as an antenna.
Yeah.
The problem, again, though, is that the phone has to put out tremendous more power because it's not conducted by a wire but conducted through the air. So the phone in your pocket, in your hand, in your shirt pocket, wherever, is putting out much more power using the safer air tube. So there's no real workaround, unfortunately. The top researchers in the field are saying, gee, isn't it too bad that the cell phone masts and the mobile phones themselves happen to use the frequencies that are the worst for human beings, in that these frequencies are the closest to resonating and confusing our own bodily frequencies. If we could only change the frequency somehow, we might be able to make these things safer. That's the current thinking, but I don't think it's gone any further than that supposition.
Okay. Well, what's the concerns then with wireless routers and broadband routers?
The concern there, Kevin, is that we are putting a cell phone mast in our homes, in our bedrooms, in our studies, our living rooms. That is the literal problem here. In fact, electromagnetic mitigators who go around measuring these things took a typical home in California, went out and bought a typical wireless router, stuck it in the home, and measured more radiation coming off that thing than they did from the cell phone tower down the street. It goes through every room of the house. It's on 24/7. Again, we're talking a portable phone cradle, which acts as a miniature mast, irradiating the house, and out to about 200 feet, by the way, around the house or apartment.
Yeah.
The wireless router does the same thing for your computer, but you may or may not, but you may turn that off at night or when it's not in use. My phone company, when I got my broadband connection, gave me a very nice 2-gigabyte wireless router free of charge. I'll tell you, it's still in the box, and it's going to stay in the box.
Yeah.
I don't want to irradiate my place, especially my bedroom, my sleeping area, with 2 billion whiplashes a second from this 2-gigawatt box. So that's the problem. And then grandma's ill, and so she's in bed, and we're going to put a portable phone by her so she can call out. You know, my goodness, try a landline. Oh, we can't get a landline because nobody's using them anymore, and they're disappearing. You know, try to go to the store and buy a landline phone where I live, that's getting more and more difficult. But grandma or anybody else does not need a portable phone by the bed. We certainly don't need, while we're on the subject, a clock radio by the bed. First thing I do in a hotel is disarm the darn thing. Extremely high radiation from these things, I guess because of the transformers they use. But clock radio, cell phones, and wireless modems have no business in near a bed. You can have it across the room, the clock radio.
Sure, sure.
But people campaign, they wave placards, they even sometimes get out bolt cutters, and I'm not recommending this because it's illegal, but they try very hard to deal with cell phone towers that have invaded their neighborhood. And we are winning some legal battles there. But my goodness, then they go home and use their portable phone. Well, I might ask, what's the point? What's the point? Your portable phone is even worse.
Yeah, that is true, that people now are not using landlines due to using their mobiles as their main phone, basically.
It's a majority of people in the United States, according to the latest statistics, and even if they have a landline left in the house, they don't use it. They prefer to use wireless. As I said, I don't use these devices, and it's getting very hard to find a payphone. Very hard to find a payphone, in fact. It's just understood you're going to have a cell phone, and when you tell people you don't have one, they just look at you like some Luddite from the Neanderthal age, if I can mix metaphors, and say, no, I. Why would I want to do that? Would you live next to Chernobyl? Well, heck no, thank you very much. Well, radiation is radiation. And the effect on the human cell and DNA from cell phone radiation is the same, repeat, the same as low-level nuclear radiation on that cell. I've got photographs in my book showing healthy DNA, a nice shiny orb, and then DNA exposed to many X-rays or the equivalent of nuclear radiation, say just low-level from a reactor. And it's trailing fragments like a comet, like a tail of a comet. Those fragments are micronuclei, and they're precursors to cancer, and they show that DNA actually breaking up. Then I have a third photograph, electromicrograph, showing a cell exposed to cell phone radiation or portable phone, and it is exactly the same as the cell exposed to nuclear radiation. So we are afraid of one, and we embrace the other, and I just find that ironic.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me, I may be wrong, that the higher the frequency, the bigger the problem is. But why don't we just lower the frequency of our mobile phones and routers? I mean, would that not work?
Well, the problem is that low frequencies are also considered a poison. Here's our basic problem as we go up and down the scale trying to find, as you put it, what will work. We have natural frequencies, I've mentioned, in our body, our hearts, our brains, between and inside our cells. The earth has its frequencies, by the way, that bees tune into or used to tune into until they got jammed. And so we have superimposed on this very narrow band of frequencies artificial, if you like, human-made frequencies that overwhelm and drown out these very subtle whisperings. And whether we go up and down the scale, we are still overpowering those very, very subtle frequencies.
Okay.
I think unless we can develop ESP and various psychotronic ways of communicating, we are really stuck, maybe not with wires, but at least fiber optic, which, by the way, gives us a much cleaner and clearer transmission than any wireless device. But going up or down, not working very well. Here is another large fact that people might seem counterintuitive, but again, the research bears this out. Yes, the higher frequencies whiplash our cells back and forth much faster than the lower frequencies, but low power can be even more dangerous. Many researchers say is more dangerous than high power. And we're going, oh no, how can that be? And the point again is that the low power more closely mimics our own cellular interactions. But of course, it's not those cellular interactions. So cells can open up to poisons and other things because they pick up spurious signals that trick them into doing these things.
What's your views then, William, on some cities in the future becoming totally wireless zones where basically you can log on to the city's wireless network and get free access? I mean, where's that going to take it?
Well, we know where it's going to take us because Sydney in Australia was the first city to do that. And they touted themselves as a wireless city. And now many others are following their example. However, they found that right after they did that, their death rate spiked dramatically and their asthma rate went through the roof. And this is very interesting because we see asthma also at epidemic levels among children, even as we attempt to clean up so-called sick buildings, lower air pollution, watch the kids' diet, things like that. Asthma keeps going up and up, and it too is tied directly to wireless pollution, call it electrosmog. So as cities around the world embrace wireless so that even people like myself, curmudgeons like myself, who don't really care to be exposed to any kind of radiation, yeah. We have to live with it because it's being imposed on us. And I think there is a basic question of human rights here and the violation of the same by the imposition of radiation known to cause negative health effects. We can argue the nuts and bolts of it, but there's no question that the health effects are immediate and negative, and yet we're exposed to this. So Sweden, I mentioned Sweden, they're way down the road, and they now have a very high absenteeism among workers, blamed on this by Dr. Ole Johansson, a leading neurosurgeon, neuro-researcher, I should say, in Sweden. He's talking about people that can't work, they have headaches, they can't concentrate, they can't focus. In fact, they are electro-hypersensitive, and he and many others are predicting that entire societies will become unable to function in the electromagnetic environment decades down the road. Right now, hard to say, we're talking 5 to 8% of the population is electro-hypersensitive.
Yeah,
that's quite
yeah.
a large number of people. It's starting, just starting to be medically recognized, but we're going to turn large segments of the population into people who are literally allergic to these fields. That's one place we're heading. Another place we really don't want to go that we're heading is the so-called WiMAX, the Wi-Fi on steroids. We're talking 4 gigabytes, 4 billion cycles per second networks. U.S. is putting them in cities across that country as fast as they can go. Why? Because we have jammed up all the frequencies with our cell phone pornography, our cell phone games, our little cell phone text messages. Literally, the frequencies are jammed up. People are complaining. They're not getting through. And so what's the answer? Boost the frequency and the power levels, and then do it again and do it again. And at 4 billion, they found in a test, a small test town in Sweden, using WiMAX at lower power levels than we're seeing now, people immediately started flooding the local hospitals. All this in my book, by the way, ABC's
sure.
cell phone. Flooding hospitals, even had heart aneurysms, as well as the headaches and nausea and other symptoms related to radiation poisoning. As soon as they turned it off, the symptoms went away. But again, the commercial interest driving this and the government in their service, something that Mussolini called fascism, and he should know, he was an expert on it. He said, government's in the service of corporations. That's the definition of fascism.
That's right.
Well, that's where we're going. The government says, people say, we don't want a cell tower in our neighborhood. We do not want one of these masks in our schoolyard, and there it is. It just appears. And in the United States and in Canada, again, I'm not sure of UK, we cannot use health as an argument against the sighting of a cell tower. That's not permitted. But we're having these things jammed down our throat, whether we like it or not. And fortunately, there is a major revolt brewing. I mentioned in Europe in particular, there's great concern in the UK. We've seen in Wales parents' organizations and teachers' organizations coming out strongly against wireless classrooms with some good effect, I might add. So we're starting to see a coordinated, that is, networked backlash against this technology. But it is pervasive, and it's gaining momentum. We're up to something like one in two people in the world have these things.
Well, how far away should people live from mobile phone towers, I mean, in your opinion?
Well, again, I'm not sure about my opinion, but in Canada, there's a group pushing very hard for a 500-meter buffer, okay? 500 meters, are they saying we will put up with a tower if we're 500 meters away? Seems a bit close to me, but, you know, I would like to be a couple of miles away. Russia has had longstanding regulations for high-tension power lines. Not quite the same thing yet. High-energy power lines, quarter-mile distant. The problem is now these cell towers are being disguised. The antennas are being shrunk down to very small sizes and put under eaves, put in church steeples, hung in plastic trees. I've got pictures of that.
Yeah, that's right. But there's some here in Wales where they're disguised as actual trees. So.
Oh my goodness! So stealth. You know, why are they doing this if it's safe? You know, why in the world are they doing this if it's not a problem?
Well, they say it's so it doesn't scathe the landscape, basically.
Ah, yes.
Well, look.
Right, so they're going to take down all the power lines and phone wires too, because boy, that's a much bigger blight on the landscape view, in my opinion, than an occasional tower in the viewscape.
William, we're coming near the end here of the interview. Sort of reversing this a bit, microwaves then, I mean, obviously they're giving off some radiation. What's your thought on how far away one should stand away from a microwave?
Well, remember, a cell phone is a microwave emitter. A cell phone mast is a microwave emitter. We've been talking about high frequencies, and that's another word for microwave, at least at the frequencies we're talking about in wireless communications. I don't know what's quote safe, but I'll give you a personal answer. We'll make it personal. I mentioned I live on a small island off the west coast of Canada. We're one of the few places that does not have a cell phone tower or mast on our little island. However, we are the Florida of Canada in that we are a major tourist destination here on Hornby Island. And our population of 800 goes to 8,000 in the summer. And, of course, the visitors from the cities want to use their cell phones. And in most parts of the island, they can without a tower. If the local government came to us and said, we are going to put a tower up on the mountain across from your house, I would be out there and a lot of people would be out there in the street saying, no, you're not. We don't want it on our island, an island that's a few miles long and a couple miles wide. Just don't want the energy here. So that would be my answer. I don't want it anywhere in my local area, period. Don't need it. Don't want it. My landline works great. We are plumbed, if you like, for fiber optic, but they never put it in. Too bad. Far better technology in every respect.
Yeah, it's the way forward.
Yeah, we don't want these things. We don't need them. And the health effects, particularly on children, are just too drastic to risk.
Okay. So what's the answer for future generations? Is it fiber optic?
I would hope so. I'm not optimistic. We society seem to be very addicted to our conveniences. Children, unfortunately, who are exposed to these things at a young age are completely taken with them, a nicer word than addicted. And they have told researchers in the UK flat out, Yeah, I'm aware. I've been, you know, aware of some of these dangers, but I'm not giving it up. You know, I'm not giving it up. It's like I'll smoke my pack a day, and yeah, it's a little dangerous, or maybe a lot dangerous, but it won't happen to me. And if it does, well, I'll enjoy the cigarettes. Well, nobody I know enjoys emphysema, but it's the same darn thing. Well, there might be some danger, you know, but I'm healthy, and I'm good. I'll be all right. And so I don't think that people are going to give these up. And I found that when I was in Kuwait during the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, with an emergency response team, I learned then that denial is the strongest human propensity. And with oil falling out of that black oil cast, a gentleman in his white Arab robes came up to me outside the hotel, and he said, "Why are you wearing that mask?" And he pointed to my gas mask that I was wearing on the street. And I said, "Do you see that that black oil going down the windshield of that parked car?" And he looked and said, "Yeah." "Do you see the oil running down your robe?" And he looked down, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what you see is what you breathe." And he just looked at me kind of blank and shook his head and walked away. Not that he didn't get it, but he didn't want to get it. Because what are you going to do with that information? So denial is very, very strong here, and I am very, very concerned.
Okay. And is there any way that we can measure radiation ourselves? How much radiation we're being exposed to?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a couple of inexpensive devices. One simply puts out an alarm at varying volumes according to signal strength, so I just know if the surrounds are clean. Can't quite give you the brand name on it. I've got another small meter, cost me about $60 Canadian, and that will give me a meter indication for microwaves. Other meters can do your home wiring. I guess my best advice, without touting particular products, is go online or to another source, and if you can find a meter in the, I have to use dollars here, $70 to $100 range, I guess 40, 50 pounds, whatever, that would be a decent enough meter to make sure your immediate environment is okay or otherwise. I must say quickly that I enjoyed using my alarm meter. I gave a talk in California, and a guy came up to me and said, "Hey, I've got one of these crystal shields." He had a magic crystal on his cell phone that, of course, was going to block the bad radiation. I said, "Gee, if that shield worked, if any shield worked, the phone wouldn't work if it really blocked it." "Oh, yeah, well, don't worry. This is a magic crystal, and it's fine." So I said, "Okay, make a call," and he did, and I turned my little meter thing on, and it screamed so loud that everybody jumped. Everybody gathered around us, jumped. It almost took the roof off the building. So much for magic cell phone shields.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, yeah. William, thank you so much for joining us today, and I look forward to having you on again.
Real pleasure, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
To find out more about William Thomas, go to www.williamthomasonline.net. Well, for myself and all the staff at Radio Cardiff, until next time, be safe.